We are starting the lesson 7 of 8 days, 8 classes, illuminating the darkness. And today we're going to talk about bringing more light into your life and how you can do that and how the lessons of Hanukkah can help you achieve that. We hope you enjoy the 2 lessons for 5 and 6 that were sent. We discussed how Hanukkah can light up the darkest places in your relationship or in yourselves to help you have the courage to deal with things that you may have not have dealt with previously. And then we talked about how to seal your exits, how to breach up the holes in the walls where your relationship, where the energy might be seeping out. So today we're going to talk about how to bring more light into your life and specifically positivity. There's always a question about how to actually deal with relationships or anything in life, what approach is the best way to proceed. And we're going to learn from Hanukkah some insights into that. And today we have a slideshow for you. So we're going to start with the first slide. So there is a debate in the Talmud, and we discussed this debate a few times already in the classes. We touched on different angles of the debate. The house of Shammai and the house of Hillel. There is a dispute how we light Hanukkah candles. So the house of Shammai, Beis Shammai says that poches v'holech, which means continually decrease. Every night we decrease, meaning we start off the first night with 8 candles, and then every night we light 1 candle less. So 8 candles, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Last day of Hanukkah, we only light 1 candle. Now anyone who lights Hanukkah candles or has seen Hanukkah candles knows that that's not what we do in practice. We actually follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, the house of Hillel. And the house of Hillel's position is mostly for holech. We continually add. So every night we start off with 1 light and go 1, 2, 3, all the way up to 8. We talked about this in class 5 about how to create change and the importance of steps. But for the purposes of today's class, we're going to talk about how to teach us about positivity. What do we do? And again, we said the ruling is like Beis Hillel, where we add light. So we're adding lights every day. So there's 2 ways of creating change, and we're just going to talk about this in a spiritual way. This is the Hasidic masters explain this debate, and they say that as follows: Beis Shammai, we know, is the They come from, their soul is rooted in what's called din, strict judgment. So they want to do things based on logic and based on whatever logic dictates and strict judgment dictates. So if you're not following the letter of the, have to follow the letter of the law. If you don't comply, then there are consequences. Beis Hillel comes from chesed, that's loving kindness. They're always going to be more lenient. They're usually more lenient in their rulings because they're coming from a loving place. Now, it doesn't mean that they're doing something against the law, but they have a more loving approach, so they tend to be more lenient. So which approach is better? So although both approaches are valid and they may work for different people, we know that the approach that works best is the approach of Beis Hillel, because that's the approach we follow. And actually, that's the approach that when God created the world, it says that Bereshis Bara Elohim, that Elohim, which is God's name for strict judgment, created the world. But later on, it says in the creation story that it adds the name of Yudke Vavke, which is the name of Rachamim, Yom Asas Hashem Elohim, Eretz V'Shamayim. So the rabbis are bothered by this. Why does it say in the beginning that God created the world with the name of judgment, and then later says he created it with both names? So they explain that originally God wanted to create the world with strict judgment, but he realized that the world could not stand. It was impossible for the world to exist if there was only strict judgment, because people would not always comply. They would give in to their desires, and they would not always follow God's will. And therefore, if it was created with strict judgment, then the world would be destroyed. So instead, God decided to combine the attribute of kindness and loving kindness and compassion. And compassion with judgment. So we need to have a balance. When a person's serving God or doing anything, the difference in approaches, if a person just focuses on strict judgment, on changing yourself and getting rid of the bad before you can do good, you're very susceptible to getting stuck in that difficulties and that bad. Whereas if a person starts with a positive, then all the bad kind of melts away on its own. And that's the difference in approach. King David, David HaMelech, says in Psalms, Sur meira v'aseh tov. You should refrain from evil or turn away from evil and do good. So the traditional explanation of this means, the simple explanation is that person first has to remove the evil, stop sinning, and then you can do good things. Then you can do good. However, the Hasidic masters explain that sometimes you have to sur meira, you have to turn away from the evil in the sense that you're getting, like, ignore the evil, meaning don't even start thinking about what's wrong. Don't start thinking about what's wrong before you can do good. Because if you focus your energy on that, you'll be so stuck in the negativity and beating yourself up that you'll never be able to get out of it. So what's more productive is actually to focus on the good. And this is particularly when it's referring to when a person's starting off. Hanukkah is a time when we said it's the beginning. It's the Chanukah Samizbeach. It's the rededication, but it's the inauguration. So we're starting to do something. It's a good time to start new habits, as we said. When you're starting in serving God, when you're starting in working on your relationship, although it's important to deal with the things, the problems, the negativity, but when you're first starting, in order to get off to a good start, you really have to work on investing energy in the positive, and then through that, a lot of the bad goes away, and you'll be able to work on the negativity later with the negativity that's remaining. But at least in the beginning, you want to make sure that it's positive, because otherwise you're just going to get despondent. So we said, which approach is better? So we said, I've already alluded to this, but the danger of focusing on the negative in a relationship is that when we focus on fixing problems, we often get caught up in the negativity and get stuck. So a lot of times I have different types of couples coming to me, and some are just in a really, really negative place. And I mean, you can see it on their faces when they come in. It's just very, the mood is very tense. And if we just start focusing on the negativity, it's very difficult for us to make progress with some couples. Other couples are able to transform that negativity and go to a deeper level and see the positive. But many times I find that if a couple are really stuck, focusing on the negative is not a good idea. As we said, when we focus on the negative, we become depressed. We think about, okay, like, I didn't do this right. These are some of the problems that I have, the issues I need to work on. And we start feeling, I'm just no good. There's something wrong with me. I might as well just, like, there's no point in even trying because I'm just never going to get it right. And, you know, I've been trying for years and I haven't been able to accomplish that. So why should things be different now? I'm doing the same old thing over and over again. Why should I be able to improve now? So then we just give it up. And this is kind of the trick of we talk about in Judaism, the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination that when a person wants to improve, sometimes there's that like little voice inside of you that is trying to discourage you. It's like, you know, the cartoons with the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other. You know, it's like that voice that's saying, you know, oh, well, you're no good enough. You're never going to do it. That little internal saboteur that we have. So we want to be aware of that. And to kind of avoid that, we want to focus on the positive. One of the things that kind of the new innovations, I'll say, of Imago therapy over the last few years is that although one of the primary things, one of the things that I think the gifts that Imago gives is the Imago dialogue process, which we work with couples when they can talk about the frustrations in their relationship and deepen it and have each other really hear and understand each other and explore where it's coming from. And it becomes quite a transformational process. However, as we said, there's some couples that it's just too difficult for, at least in the beginning. So sometimes we have to go through the positive. One of the things that Harville Hendricks and his wife Helen have created recently was what they call the Zero Negativity Challenge. That some couples are just so reactive that they really have to focus on this kind of a behavioral challenge where they have a chart and they every day they monitor their negativity. If they do well, they put a smiley face. If there's no negativity. If there's negativity, put a frown face. And if they're able to reset, they can reset through doing a kind act to each other, sharing appreciation, or actually having a dialogue to talk about the issue, then they could put a reset button. But the idea of this, and whether or not you feel like it's a good idea to try it or not, the point I'd like to bring out from this is that the importance of focusing on how prevalent negativity is in a relationship and how we want to focus on eliminating it and sometimes not even focusing on it when we have problems. And that's what they found after years and years of therapy, working with couples and in their own relationship, they found that it was really important to get to a place of no negativity, where they don't have any negativity in their relationship, as hard as that is to believe, but they've been able to master that. So again, focusing on the positive. What happens when we focus on the positive? I had a couple that was working with me for a little while, and they wrote me a few years later, and they said, you know, I want to let you know about that appreciation exercise that we always used to do with you in the beginning of our sessions, and my husband and I used to practice it at home. And, you know, I really was a kind of a depressed person, and I used to look at things more negative way. But after doing that exercise, I started getting in the habit of being more appreciative, not just of my husband, but of the world in general. So we find that sharing appreciations, and I'll explain the exercise in a moment, it's really powerful. And just a little bit of light can dispel the darkness. Even in a couple who's really suffering, having a little bit of light can make a huge difference. Sometimes with the... the appreciations and just focusing on the positive allows for the negative to melt away on its own. Again, a lot of times when we have that kind of stale mood in the session, and I always start off with appreciations on purpose because I want to kind of set things off in a positive light. And then it's just a lot easier to work together because there's not that kind of awkward tension in the room. They're able to focus on the positive when they're sharing the appreciations. So a lot of times we find that the negativity goes away on its own because really ultimately what we want is connection. And there are different ways to create connection. And we can create connection through exploring difficulties and negativity and frustrations. Or we can create connection through positivity. And it's usually easier to create through positivity. And ultimately, it gets to the same place. Sometimes I've worked with couples where we're actually doing appreciations the entire session. And we don't even do any sharing of frustrations. And it's just very helpful. It makes it light, but it makes them walk away connected. So even if there are lots of issues that need to be dealt with, they'll deal with them at some point. But the most important thing is to be in a good place where you can actually be in a relationship. And this is one of the lessons of Hanukkah. Hanukkah, we don't have any special meals required, as we said before, because this is not a physical annihilation. It was more of a spiritual annihilation that the Greeks weren't trying to kill the Jews. They just wanted them to give up God and assimilate. So while we don't have any physical commemorations, we do have the spiritual commemorations, besides, of course, the lighting of candles, it's a time, lehodes lehallel, to thank and acknowledge and to praise God. We have a special hallel prayer that we recite every day, the full hallel prayer, which we don't even recite on even some of the biblical mandated holidays, but on the rabbinic holiday of Hanukkah, we recite the whole hallel, all these psalms of thanks to God. And praise, because that's really one of the themes of Hanukkah, lehodos. And one of the things about the word to thank and gratitude also has the same root word as to admit. We're admitting that, and that somebody else has, that someone else in our life has what to be thankful for. It's not all about us, but there's someone else who's doing things for us, and we're admitting and acknowledging that. And when on Hanukkah, when we light the Hanukkah candles, we're increasing the light. We're focusing on that positive. We're feeling grateful for the miracles. And as we do that, and as we increasingly do that, that takes us out of the darkness and creates more and more light. When I have couples practice the daily appreciations, it's a really easy exercise to do on your own. Even if your spouse is not on board, you can share what I appreciate and why. So you would say, you know, I recommend making a time every day, if you can, a few minutes every day, just to sit down and share appreciations. And you could say, one thing I appreciate is that you made me dinner last night. And then if they're on board in the process, they would repeat it back, mirror it back. What I appreciate is that you made me dinner last night. That I made you dinner last night. Did I get you? And then is there more? And then afterwards, I would say, and the reason I appreciate that is that it really makes me feel cared for. And then the person who's listening would repeat back, what I heard you say is that you really appreciate it because the reason you appreciate it is that it makes you really feel cared for. And then you would ask, did I get you and is there more? And that whole conversation you could expand on and on. Some of you on the call are familiar with the Imago Dialogue from some of our other material. If you're not, if you read our book, Five Steps to a Happy and Healthy Marriage, and step four, acknowledge the other, it's detailed. And you can email us if you'd like some more resources for that as well. But we do share the appreciation exercise in there, and actually on our video, Five Steps to Healthy and Happy Marriage, we actually have a demo where Rivka and I demo the appreciations exercise. But the idea is that we want to be more appreciative. We want to start thinking about it. Actually, Dr. John Gottman, he was able to study couples, and he can put them in his relationship lab, and after a few minutes, he can predict whether they're going to stay together. And one of the things he says is that couples that have the couples that stay together need to have five positive interactions for one negative interaction. And while that's a lot, I think you get the point that we want to make sure there's a far more positive than negative. So start thinking about taking the time, perhaps, just to share appreciations. And it's not just a thank you, running out the door, thanks for making lunch. Really sitting down face to face, looking into each other's eyes, sharing what you appreciate, making it purely positive, no backhanded compliments, no sarcasm, and really coming from a genuine place. This can cut through so much negativity and bring a couple back to a positive place so quickly. It's just really amazing, a simple exercise like this. And I've noticed that couples start noticing every week or every day when you're doing this, when you know that you're going to have to share an appreciation, you start looking for more good in the relationship and you start seeing more good. And one of the things that happens, one of the things that happens is that couples are, when someone thanks you for and is appreciative for something that you did, then it's going to be a positive reinforcer. You're going to want to do more of that good. So a lot of, you know, when, if you feel resentful and you're not acknowledged for what you're doing, so you're not going to do it. But once you're acknowledged, it's like, wow, I'd love to feel that. I like to feel that appreciation. And it just makes you want to do it more. So it enforces when you're grateful for your partner, it reinforces that positive behavior for them to do. It also makes you feel better about them, and it makes them feel better about you and less resentful because they feel like you've acknowledged what they've been doing and their efforts. So it's a win-win situation for both people involved. So again, focusing on the good brings about more good, and it also trains you to have a positive eye to look for the good. So just to summarize what we've covered today, we've talked about the classic debate between the house of Shammai and the house of Hillel. Do we decrease in light or do we add in light? Decreasing in light or decreasing in general is decreasing the negative, decreasing the bad, and adding is adding the positive. So we say that the ruling is that we focus on adding the positive and in adding light with the actual candles, but also on a spiritual level, it teaches us that when we're beginning any spiritual endeavor, any personal endeavor, relationship endeavor, we want to focus on the positive. Because if we focus on the negative and removing the negative, sometimes we just get so stuck and depressed that we can't make progress. So focusing on get rid of the bad, ignore the bad, and just work on the good. And as you work on the good, the bad melts away. And we discuss the positive implications of the appreciations exercise, that when you share what you appreciate and you share why you appreciate it, it can create a deeper connection and can transform your relationship without even having to address the bad things. And even when you do address the negativity, you're able to do it from a more positive place as opposed to a guarded and reactive place. We appreciate any questions that you have. Please email to info@themarriagerestorationproject.com. info@themarriagerestorationproject.com. We look forward to joining you tomorrow for the last class, Lesson 8, Achieving Personal Transformation Through the Light of Hanukkah, and how living a life of miracles connected to a higher source allows you to experience miracles in your daily life. So looking forward to sharing that with you. And again, if you have any questions or comments, please let us know. We hope you enjoyed today's class and the slideshow. And I'm hoping that the slideshow, we'll have the slideshow on for those who are listening to the recording as well. We'll be in touch and have a happy Hanukkah.